There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angels who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And in the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. For I asked then, 'For what reason have you sent for me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Amen.
Turn to Acts chapter 10. We're just going to stay in this chapter. So if you have it open, it'll help you to follow with me as we go through this. I've called this message the indiscriminate gospel. The indiscriminate gospel. Now, all of us have favorites. Might be favorite foods, favorite sports teams, holiday destinations, even favorite friends. But sometimes having favorites is wrong, isn't it? So if you have, I have a favorite son because I've only got one. But if you have more than one son and you had a favorite one, well, of course, that would be wrong, wouldn't it? It would be unacceptable if you're in the workplace to have a team of four people and only ever make a cup of tea for one of them and exclude all the rest. It would be outrageous, wouldn't it, not to serve someone food because of the colour of their skin or something like that. But we can be like this with the sharing of the gospel and the sharing of God's blessings. We can choose to only speak to certain people based on all sorts of prejudices. And today we're going to see how we do this and how wrong it is to discriminate with the gospel. As we come to Acts chapter 10, the gospel has been going mainly to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people were the chosen people of God. But the Jewish election of them as a chosen people had become favoritism. The role of the Jewish people was to be a blessing to all nations. Others were to be welcomed in, but prejudice stopped this from happening. God does choose those who he's going to save. He does save us, not because of our own works, but his favor is not based on anything we have done or anything that we are. It's not because we're British or because we're married or because we have nice shoes or do good deeds or any of those kinds of things. Our salvation is by grace, not by works. But the message of Acts chapter 10 is this: if God is indiscriminate in the offer of his grace, which he is, then so should we be indiscriminate in the sharing of his gospel and in the sharing of his blessings. So there's three parts to this chapter. First of all, God is indiscriminate in the sharing of his grace, and so we should be indiscriminate in the sharing of his gospel, and we should be indiscriminate in the sharing of his blessings. So first of all, we see in verses 1 to 35, God is indiscriminate in the offer of his grace. So in verse 1, we're introduced to this man called Cornelius, and he was a Roman centurion. This meant he was a high-ranking soldier overseeing 100 men in his regiment. And it's important to understand here that Cornelius was not the kind of man that a Jewish person would speak to. He would be avoided. He was not circumcised. He was a Roman. And more so, he was a soldier. A soldier of a force that occupied the Jewish land. But verse 2 does tell us that he was God-fearing. He was a devout man. So he wasn't Jewish by birth. He didn't become a Jew by circumcision, but he was respectful of Jewish law, and he gave money and he prayed. And in verses 3 to 8, we see that an angel of God appears and he tells Cornelius to go and fetch Peter. Now, Cornelius didn't ask any questions. He just obeyed. He sent some of his men and they went out to get Peter. Now, Cornelius at this point, you couldn't call him a Christian, but he was a seeker. And when God came to him, Cornelius obeyed the word of God. And so in verse 9, we're moved to another scene, away from Cornelius's house, over to where Peter is staying in Joppa. And Peter had received the command at the beginning of Acts with all the other disciples to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, which meant that it would need to be shared with all kinds of people, including Roman soldiers. And he was on the roof praying, and he became hungry. And he fell into a trance. Now, this trance wasn't because he was hungry, but because God was visiting him, using that hunger to make an important point to Peter. And Peter sees heaven opened in verse 11. When we see the words there, heaven is opened, it means that God is going to speak in a very special way. We saw it, for example, at the baptism of Jesus when the Spirit came upon him. The heavens opened and God declared with a voice, "This is my Son, with him I am well pleased." Well, look with me at verses 11 and 12 at what Peter saw. He says he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. The Old Testament law forbade the Jews from eating certain kinds of animals. And the purpose of this was to show that they were different from all the other nations. But it resulted in those Jewish people being prejudiced against other people, so much so that they couldn't even eat together. And not being able to eat together, not being able to meet with other people in that kind of close relationship, was a real hindrance to proclaiming the gospel to the ends of the earth, wouldn't it? If you wouldn't speak to somebody, if you wouldn't spend time with somebody, then you're not going to be able to share the gospel with them, are you? And so God is teaching Peter an important lesson here. Well, in verse 13, notice how Peter was told by this voice to kill and eat. And that would mean Peter eating food declared unclean by the Jewish law. And so Peter says, no, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to break God's law. But in verse 15, God speaks these words which change Peter's life and begin the process of destroying his prejudice. Notice verse 15. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And in verse 16, notice how this was done three times. When something is done three times like that, it means Peter was not deluded, it was being confirmed. Back in Exodus, you may remember the dreams of Pharaoh. They were done a number of times to confirm that this is definitely true. It's almost like Peter wasn't going to believe it, and God confirmed it three times. Yes, Peter, you can eat this food. I've made it clean. Well, in verse 17, Peter is wondering what the vision means. I mean, does it mean that he can now just eat these foods and so I can have my bacon sandwich and that's it? Well, no, it does mean more than just you can now eat these foods. He begins to see what it means as God's plan moves forward. Notice in the story how God is at work here. The perfect timing of God. Just as Peter prays, at that moment, the men from Cornelius turn up at his house. The fact that the men who are there have never met Peter before. And in verse 19, notice the Spirit tells Peter to go downstairs to the men. It's obvious that God is doing something quite remarkable here. And Peter goes with the men Cornelius sent to Caesarea, and he arrives at Cornelius' house. Notice in verse 24, Cornelius was waiting for them. He was eager for Peter to arrive, and he invites everybody to his house who he seems to know. They're all there waiting for Peter to arrive. Something amazing is going to happen. Now, Cornelius here in verse 25 falls down at Peter's feet and worships him. I think we see here that Cornelius isn't yet a Christian. I think we should cut him some slack for bowing down to Peter. He doesn't do what's right, but the vision has come from God. And he sees Peter as a man sent from God, and so he assumes this must be something to do with God, so he bows down to him. But Peter assures him, don't bow down to me. He tells him to get up. Peter's just a man. But Peter's going to tell him who the God is that Cornelius should bow down to. Just as an interesting side point, God uses an angel to get Peter invited to Cornelius. But it wasn't the angel who preached the gospel. That was Peter, wasn't it? God doesn't send an angel to preach the gospel. He sends a man to preach the gospel. It was one sinner, Peter, telling another, Cornelius, how to find salvation. And that's God's way. Well, in verse 28, Peter is with this large crowd. And we see Peter realize what God meant by this vision of the sheet. Look at verses 28 and 29. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? So Peter says that God showed him the meaning of the meat on the sheet was that people are not to be classified as common or unclean. Peter can be with these people. Peter can eat with these people. In fact, with any people, Peter must not discriminate because God is indiscriminate with the offer of his grace. And so Peter asked them, what do you want? And in verses 30 to 33, Cornelius explains what happened to him and why he sent for Peter. And what Peter has to say in verses 34 and 35 is wonderful and life-transforming. Look again at those verses, 34 and 35. These verses, by the way, are the keys to understanding this chapter of Scripture. Look at verse 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Here's the key. God does not show partiality, or God does not show favoritism. Cornelius was a man who was seeking God, but was not Jewish. And according to the Jewish law, misinterpreted, I might add, he was excluded. In other words, the Jewish people couldn't speak to him. But God is indiscriminate in the offer of his grace. Whatever nation you are from, if you fear God and live for him, which is what doing what is right means, works righteousness, which means it means you're trusting in Jesus and his sacrifice for you on the cross to pay for your sin, then you are welcome into his kingdom. And this is good news, is it not? I can stand here today and offer you God's grace. I can say that you are welcome into his family and freed from your sin, no matter who you are or where you are from. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what your income is. It doesn't matter what your dress sense is. It doesn't matter what skin tone you have. It doesn't matter whether you have a criminal record. It doesn't matter whether you're left wing or right wing or somewhere in between politically. It doesn't matter what age you are. Nothing of those things matter. None of the things that discriminate humans in this world matter at all. For God, all people are welcome. He is indiscriminate in the offer of his grace. All that matters is, do you accept what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross? Do you trust God's word is true? Are you going to follow Jesus Christ as your king? That's all that matters, nothing else. God is indiscriminate in the offer of his grace. I wonder, are any of those marks of division that divide people in our world, do they ever stop you from accepting Jesus Christ? Do you ever feel that God would never accept you for whatever reason it might be? Well, this passage shows us that those reasons don't matter. God does not accept us based on anything about us. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. God is indiscriminate in the offer of his grace. And Peter realizes this, and in this realization, it transforms him. Peter went from a man at the beginning who would not enter the house of a Gentile Roman centurion, but now here he is in his house preaching the gospel to him. And that leads us on to the next two points of this passage. If God is indiscriminate in the offer of his grace, which he is, well, then we must be indiscriminate, secondly, in the preaching of his gospel. That's verses 36 to 43. We must be indiscriminate in the sharing of his gospel. So in verse 36, after Peter says how God does not show partiality, Peter shares the good news about Jesus. Notice in verse 36, who is Jesus Lord of? He is Lord of all, every person. And so in verses 37 to 41, Peter explains about Jesus. He says how he was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. He explains about the healings which showed God was with him. He explains how Peter and others witnessed these things. He shares how Jesus was hung on a cross and how Jesus was raised from the dead and was seen by witnesses who ate and drank with him. Peter shares the gospel with these Roman centurion and his friends. The historical facts of the gospel show that these things are true, and Peter was one of the ones who saw those things. But in verses 42 and 43, Peter explains what those historical realities mean. Look at verses 42 and 43. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So Peter was commanded to preach that God appointed Jesus to be judge of the living and the dead. Now every person is either alive or dead, right? Everyone. And Peter says that God is the judge of all of them. And here's the wonderful thing. We will not be judged for our sins if we're forgiven of them. And the forgiveness is available to who? Whoever believes in him. Whoever. Peter preaches the gospel to these Romans, who previously he would have nothing to do with. And he tells them that everyone can receive God's forgiveness. Now, notice how Peter preaches the gospel indiscriminately. Because God shows no partiality, Peter shows none either. But what about you and me? From what kind of people do you distance yourself from or would not share the gospel with? Now, Peter was shown a sheet with animals on it that showed who he will not share the gospel with. And if God was to let down a sheet before you, who would be on your sheet? Would it be immigrants? Posh people? Poor people? Teenagers with hoodies? The parent who drops their children to school in their pajamas? Tories, socialists, would a rainbow flag be on your sheet? The elderly, the prisoner, the homeless. Who would be on your sheet that you would not want to share the gospel with? And here is the problem with having people on our sheet. All of them desperately, desperately need to hear the gospel, don't they? And it is entrusted not to the angels to go and tell them. It's entrusted to us as God's people to go and tell them. And I think our initial response to people who are different from us or that we don't like is, isn't it, to avoid them, roll our eyes at them, get angry with them. But God wants us to pray for them and tell them about Jesus. And a lack of willingness to share the gospel with people who are different from us betrays an underlying problem in our hearts, doesn't it? It really shows that we don't want them to be saved. Or worse, we don't think that they deserve to, which shows that we think we do. And what could be more opposite to what God is like, the God who is indiscriminate in the offer of his grace? But welcoming people indiscriminately goes further than just telling them about Jesus. It involves ensuring that we welcome them into the church family and recognize them as brothers and sisters. That's what we see in verses 44 to 48. We should be indiscriminate in the sharing of his gospel, but also in the sharing of his blessings. So look at verses 44 to 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had also been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now it's important to recognize here that there is a repeat in Acts chapter 10 here of what happened in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost amongst the Jews. In Acts chapter 2, The Holy Spirit came upon those who believed, and they began to speak in tongues as a sign that the Spirit had come upon them. And in Acts chapter 10, exactly the same happens. Peter preaches, the Spirit comes, and the people who receive the Spirit speak in tongues. In other words, it's showing the same gospel that was preached to the Jews and had the response is the same gospel with the same response to the Gentiles here. And note that the Jewish people with Peter are astonished, it says, that the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit as well. And receiving the Holy Spirit meant that the Gentiles were real Christians. And if they were real Christians, just like the Jews, then there was no distinction anymore. And if these Gentiles were true Christians, which they were, then they should receive the same blessings as being in God's kingdom as everybody else. And so that began with water baptism. When someone becomes a Christian, the Bible shows us that they are to be baptized in water. Water baptism is that external confirmation of what God has done in our lives. It shows the church and people who are watching what has happened to us. But also, water baptism is not just an individualistic thing. It is also the church confirming that we believe that this person's faith in Jesus is genuine. And so Peter, if he's going to welcome these brothers and sisters into God's family, he needs to baptize them so that Peter and the other Jews agree these are genuine Christians. And so he says nothing should stand in the way of them being baptized. If we really believe these are part of God's kingdom, then we will baptize them just like we were when we came to faith. And so in verse 48, Peter ensures that those who received the Holy Spirit were baptized. Now, as a church, we also must be careful to ensure that the blessings of being part of God's family are shared with everyone. So when we consider people for church membership, for example, we must not judge them according to accent or intelligence or articulation or wealth. We must ascertain, is this person a brother or sister in Christ? In our church, quite recently, we've had someone request membership, and they have come to church with a mohawk and are tattooed literally from the neck down. No, you can't see the skin whatsoever. And one of the elders in our church came to me and said, I know we've got to interview this guy, Steve, but I find him quite scary. But he'd not really spoke to the guy before. And okay, he does look scary, but he is a true believer in Jesus Christ. He really loves the Lord. And so I said to my fellow elder, you've just got to go speak to him. He's a Christian. And we need to treat him and welcome him into God's family just like everybody else who is a Christian is welcomed into God's family. We shouldn't judge people on what they look like. We judge people according to, are they a follower of Jesus Christ? Similarly, when we're looking for elders and deacons, does your preference on those kinds of things affect who you might submit to? Who do you speak to during the coffee time after church? Is it just people you know or just members of your family or people who are just like you? What about people you bless with your resources or have around your home? Is it only people that you kind of are comfortable with and like? Or are you willing to share your resources indiscriminately, just like God does with us? Because if God is indiscriminate in the sharing of his grace, then we have to be indiscriminate both in the sharing of his gospel and in the sharing of his blessings. And in doing this, we reflect, don't we, the character of the God who saved us from our sins. Well, let's just have just a moment of quiet as we just consider what we've just heard from Acts chapter 10. Let's bow our heads and just consider the message of this passage. First of all, perhaps you can consider, have I realized that this gospel is for me? Have I accepted the gospel? And then maybe just think for a moment, who is on my sheet? And confess that to God and repent of it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we confess that we have not shown the same indiscriminate love and grace to others that you have extended to us. We confess our failures and we repent of our sin. And we thank you so much that you did not show partiality to us, but you have saved us, not according to what we look like or what we have done, but you've saved us by amazing grace. And I pray that we, as your people, would go forth and tell and share this good news with others, and that by your Spirit you would work powerfully to bring people to salvation in Jesus Christ. And help us also to love one another as the children of God. May we treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, showing no partiality in the sharing of the blessings of being in your kingdom. And we ask for your help in these things because we depend upon you and the work of your Spirit in our lives. And we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.